I was just thinking about how John Wiley Keeley managed to get water to cavitate without the application of heat. He merely used a specific sound vibration targeting the center of a spherical vessel which contained the water. And he got the water to cavitate, and because he caused the water to turn to steam, its temperature went up. Why? Because its pressure went up. Pressure and temperature are directly related. Unlike Ohm's law, current and voltage are inversely related. And I could never get it through my head why that was, or why you got to multiply them to get watts. Now I know that current is a mathematical shorthand notation. It's a fiction created by man to hide half of the truth. So I'm going to give it to you. I've said this before, but I've never known it to be described this way. So, voltage squared divided by resistance is the correct way to look at Ohm's law, but it's not really. It's the application of voltage, real power voltage, and then you get the response, which is reactive voltage due to various impedances and resistances within a framework of time. Now, if you ask anybody in the know, you say, okay, that's nice, but that's not the way it's taught. It's simply current times voltage equals watts. And so you ask further the question, well, how come this other way is never taught? Oh, we don't want to make it difficult for the beginning student. You know what? They never make it more complicated for the advanced student. They never give the whole truth. They lie. They say they will, they promise you the world, and they don't deliver. They don't, because if they taught Ohm's law correctly, it already tells you how to create the first rule of thumb on how to create an overunity circuit. How is that? Well, sorry. Remember I said earlier that current is inversely proportional to voltage. When current is a fiction, it's really reactive voltage divided by various impedances, including resistance, within a framework of time. So, the fact that your input is inversely related to your output is very indicative of an interesting rule of thumb, in which if you presume conservation of energy is a law all of the time for all circumstances, then you are going to say, okay, the load requires a certain amount of power. The various losses to get that power to the load and run it through the load is going to add up to a little extra. And now I got to supply the total amount to the load to get it to run. And that's all very well and good, but you pay through the nose for that kind of expenditure of getting energy from a source, a so-called source. But if you take this new way of understanding Ohm's law, literally, then if I diminish my input, I increase my output. The likelihood that you'll by accident stumble across that in real life begs the question why we're taught Ohm's law the way we are and kept in the dark for a reason, to make sure we don't stumble across overunity in our builds. Because Ohm's law, when correctly interpreted, hints at the less energy you give it, the more energy you will most likely be able to produce if you design the circuit to take advantage of a very extremely low input. So low, there's no way that circuit's going to give you what you want. And you're no longer using your input as a prime mover, or deriving it from a prime mover. Now you're just using it as a catalyst to provoke the circuit to become a generator, its own source for its load. I mean, this turns everything on its head because now you can't know, there's no way for you to define a source anymore because it's not a source. And which is the load? When you've got the coils in your motor generating negative watts because your amps and volts are out of phase by 180 degrees. Well, that's okay, that could be a problem. There are several techniques, only one of which I know for certain, to convert negative watts into real power, and it does not involve a coil, unfortunately. It involves a resistor. So you can boil water, light up your home, and run all of the electric, because all nuclear power does is boil water. That's all they do. And that's what started this. Because I was thinking to myself, well, gee, you wouldn't even have to go to the trouble of what I describe, utilizing reactive power. All you have to do is use John Worley Keeley's technique and cavitate water in steel spherical vessels, and you could run all the steam turbines you like and do away with nuclear power, coal-fired plants, gas-fired plants, and not ever have to worry about running out of free energy. Because how much energy does it take to create a sound wave? Come on. It takes very little. For so much gain, it's just ridiculous to worry about, oh, we're going to run out of energy. We got to harvest the nuclear power. That's the only way to go. Bunch of bullshit. I'm sorry. I have to crap on you. It is bullshit. Don't buy into that. That's purely politics because plutonium is the side result of all nuclear power plants, and the military wants that plutonium, and it's the only way they can get it is to buy it from the nuclear power plants. That's the only way. Meanwhile, we're trying to say peace on Earth and, you know, goodwill towards men, but we got to have more missiles than you, and or else when we come to the negotiating table, what are we going to have to say to claim that we're superior and we need to be listened to? You only have 2 missiles and we have 4,500. You know, I mean, it's so ridiculous. And they don't even put the heads on those missiles. They're not stupid. They have them detached from all the missiles in a room off to the side. Because they know somebody could accidentally push the button and start World War III and devastate the planet. So they're not stupid. But they're still insane. Because they still want their plutonium anyway. To go through the motion of, oh, I have more missiles than you. Of course, it's decapitated. But we could put the caps on. You know, you better watch out. You better not cry. It was da-da-da-da, I'm telling you why. I mean, here we are, Christmas season, and it's paper thin, I'm sorry to say.